The choices you have to make can be difficult and may alter your life forever. When you're under too much pressure, it's hard to go it alone. Now you don't have to. Whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, time management, family issues, relationships, self-sabotage, guilt, shame, or just need some wisdom and helpful insight, this program is the answer. Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley. Kamish is a licensed mental health therapist with HealingYourHiddenHurts.com and who also shares her knowledge as an expert author, speaker, and radio personality. You don't have to just survive. You can thrive. Here's Kamish Nunley.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley, and joining us today for our very first ever panel discussion to discuss teaming up to defeat bullying is community and player relations from the Indiana Fever, Ms. Roberta Courtwright. Thanks for coming to the show, Roberta. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
No problem. And also joining us today is former NFL cheerleader and state director of Bully Police Indiana is Miss Anika Hutchinson. Welcome to the show, Anika.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. Unfortunately, our other guest for today was summoned for jury duty, so she will be unable to join us. But if you have a question or comment for our guest today, please call in at 888-463-6748. Today's show is brought to you by HealingYourHiddenHurts.com. Welcome again, ladies, to the show. I do appreciate you guys coming on, barring my little mishap here in the beginning. But today's show is about the anti-bullying efforts within our community. And, you know, I thought it was really important to focus on this because many of us as parents send our children to school with the hope of them being in a safe place and focused on learning. But what we now know because of the increased attention to bullying and how much it's been in the media is not only are we sending our children to school to learn, but now we're recognizing that we're also sending them there to practice social competency, to learn some level of civility, and also how to build and reinforce values and relationships. And in the midst of that, there's an unfortunate opportunity for them to meet an emotionally or physically aggressive kid. And there's some kids that are able to handle this well, but then there's other kids who cannot cope with mean or bullying behaviors. And this, in my opinion, is where there needs to be some sort of intervention made by someone that is capable of putting a stop to it and creating teachable moments at the same time. And that's basically what our show is about today. So I really want to understand from everyone's perspective in terms of them dealing with bullying, how do you feel that bullying is currently surfacing in our communities today? Do you feel like the severity has risen, or do you feel like bullying is the same that it has always been within our communities? And I'll divert to Anika first.
I feel like bullying is much worse today than when we were in school, because due to the cyber and the social media aspect of it, people can hide behind computers and do anything that they want without being caught. So it's much more severe today. For some reason, kids today seem a lot more vicious than what they were back when we were in school. And I don't know what the reason for that is, but it's a lot more severe today. And you see a rise in suicides among kids. Mm. And that's an issue that we're having to deal with right now.
And it's important. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, in fact, I work with two mothers who recently lost their daughters to suicide within the last year. And some of the things that they've endured, even after their kids passed away, they're still being bullied. So it's out of control.
Absolutely. And I believe that. And I think part of the reason that it's more severe now or even on the rise is that because of the expansion of the definition of bullying, like you kind of alluded to, it's now cyberbullying, and it's also including exclusion and mean behaviors and such as that. Roberta, have you noticed an increase in talking about bullying or the rise of it in our community?
Yes, the rise of it being a very big issue in our community. I've seen that, and I'll agree the social media has really elevated bullying in our children and given them another level to go with. And I remember, you know, back in school, more so the physical bullying, chirping other kids. I remember that a little more than all the emotional bullying, and we see so mm-hmm. much emotional bullying right now, and a rise with females even more so.
Absolutely. And emotional bullying, it's really hard to deal with because it's not as observant, or you can't see it as much as you can see someone tripping someone or pointing and laughing at someone, or even someone documented on social media, different abusive language. And so my biased opinion is that because the language we use when referring to the topic of bullying, people oftentimes, and I'm really interested in hearing your guys' perspective on this, missed or self-diagnosed themselves as being a victim of bullying. Anika, do you consider there a difference between bullying and kids that are just displaying mean behaviors?
I think bullying and mean behaviors are one and the same, if the intent is to harm either physically, verbally, socially, or online. That is defined as bullying. It is like an unwanted and repeated act meant to harass, humiliate, and intimidate. And it really can be overt or covert. Most people don't realize that exclusion is another form of bullying. Like if you leave a kid to eat alone in the lunchroom, that can be very detrimental. So it also includes an imbalance of power. For boys, it is mostly physical based on strength or size, but not really exclusive to that. Girls are a lot more complex. The power comes in the form of popularity. Most mm-hmm. often, girls are masters of manipulation and mm-hmm. Are able to gain followers to gang up on their target. So, and then another form of bullying is that of a bystander. If a student sees someone that's bullied and does nothing, they are almost as responsible in the peer abuse. So to me, it's all one and the same. As long as it hurts the child, it's defined as bullying.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought up the notion of bystander, because I can't oftentimes explain enough to some of my clients how important of a role, you know, we play in whether or not we witness someone being bullied. And recently I learned of a local research study where a guy took it upon himself to videotape himself harassing another college student. And they set up cameras just around campus, and they pick certain areas, maybe where there was one person sitting studying or something like that, and the guy would go out and role play him being the bully and bullying this other person about term papers and getting the term paper. And he even got physical with this gentleman. And I mean, less than 20% of people intervened. I even want to say less than 10% of people intervened in that bullying situation. And when he would pull them aside and ask them maybe why they didn't intervene, they would all say something to the point of, well, I just felt like it wasn't my business, or I thought somebody else was going to do it. What do you think about that, Anika?
I think that's very true. People just do not want to get involved, especially kids at a young age. They just don't want to be involved because they don't want to become the target. I know a lot of times when I was in school and working with students today, people just don't want to get involved. They're a lot more self-involved today, and they're just so afraid of retaliation. But I feel if people became more involved, then this stigma, it would create a stigma. And people will be less inclined to bully because they don't want that stigma, because they know somebody will retaliate and get support for the victim.
Absolutely.
So I think that's very important.
And do you think that age makes a difference? Like, you know, we were talking about children and all the things that go on there, but then I just brought up college students, and I've even known people to suffer with workplace bullying. Do you think that age makes a difference? If so, how? Anika?
I really don't. I've seen it all. I've seen, not so much in college, but I've seen grade school through high school, then I've also seen workplace bullying, and quite honestly, I think workplace bullying, people are a lot less inclined to step in, because then you're dealing with people living. So I really don't think age makes a difference at all.
And do you think that some children and or adults are more likely to be bullied than others?
That's an interesting question. That was something that you're more familiar with. I think that, for me, I work with a lot of students who, they move from one school to another, and at the other school, they're bullied. I think maybe if you're bullied once, it really tears down your self-esteem and your confidence. And people kind of sense that in you, and so you become a target wherever you go. I do see that a lot.
And I've also noticed that children and even some teenagers have trouble speaking up about being bullied. And this question is for both you and Roberta. Who do you think children tell when they are being bullied? And why do you think there's some level of resistance with telling that they're being bullied? I'll start with you first, Roberta.
I think they have, they don't want to tell their teachers or their parents because they're afraid of the person bullying them even more, being angry at them. Possibly some of the kids might not think that the parents or teachers will believe them.
Absolutely.
So
that is so true.
Some hold back there. And some, I know I was a very shy kid back in my day, so just being shy and not really wanting to talk at all. I know that was an issue with me. I was a very shy student and didn't talk very much. So I think that can aid in students not telling anyone or not telling the correct people.
Absolutely. And Anika, what are your thoughts on that?
I think Roberta is exactly right. But to add to that, I think that most kids, it's kind of a strange thing. They try to gain acceptance from the bully. So, of course, if you're trying to gain acceptance from the bully, you do not want to tell anyone that the person is bullying you because you want to try to become friends with that person. So I think a lot of it is they don't want to upset the bully. And, you know, just also what Roberta said, a lot of them are shy. That's another target, people who are kind of introverted and shy, and they just don't want to speak up.
Right, and what I'm also noticing is that there's this, I guess, unhidden agenda that when they do tell, you know, the schools don't always reinforce and back them up or even validate that it exists. And so that can make it very hard for any abuse victim to speak alone, let alone a child who's being bullied. So thank you so much for that, Anika and Roberta. Now it's time for our first break, but when we return, we will hear from our guests as they share their personal experiences with bullying. So stay tuned.
Now, back to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations. Today, we are discussing the fight to defeat bullying within our community. If you'd like to call in today with a question or comment for our guests, please dial 888-463-6748. Now, Anika and Roberta, our show is all about sharing our stories of struggle and triumphs with the different topics that we select for each show. So, Anika, I'd like to start with you again. Have you ever experienced bullying? And if so, how did it impact you? And then how did you overcome the impact of bullying behaviors?
Absolutely. In fact, I have a very long story, which I'll revise, but I was bullied by a handful of girls in high school. It started my freshman year with exclusion. I grew up with them, and my mother would take us to concerts and other events, but even so, they would exclude me from eating lunch with them, so I had to eat alone, and also from other things like dances. It then escalated to name-calling and teasing me about the way that I looked. They would embarrass me in front of guys, and one in particular threatened me physically, and I was always in fear. On top of that, my grandmother was critically ill, so I endured severe bullying at school, only to come home and watch my grandmother slip away. They knew this, but they did not care. And I was also very shy, but despite that, I decided to try out for the cheerleading squad. I kind of thought, well, maybe if I did that, I would be popular, and they wouldn't bully me any longer. So I worked up the courage to ask the cheer coach for an application to try out. And she, in so many words, told me that I wasn't cheerleading material and refused to give me the application. My senior year, as you can imagine, I was ecstatic. I didn't actually want to attend college. I hated school because of the bullying, and I thought college would just be more of the same. But my mother literally forced me to apply. So when I went to tell my guidance counselor that I wanted to apply, she discouraged me and said that I would make a better flight attendant. But even with that, I persisted and started IU Bloomington that fall. And that was the best decision that I have ever made. Actually, my mother made it for me, but nonetheless, it was amazing because that began my transformation. God since then blessed me with amazing divine connections, appointments, and assignments. Mm-hmm. At a freshman mixer, I met the dean of IU, Dean McCaig, and we kind of clicked, and he invited me to visit him at his office. He became my first mentor. And every single time that I would visit, the ladies working in the office, and he encouraged me to enter a pageant. Of course, I thought they were insane because all through high school, I was told teased about the way that I lived. I was ignored and discouraged, so I didn't really pay any attention to it. I just kind of laughed it off. Then one day after visiting the dean, I was walking, and a woman stopped me and asked if I ever considered being in the pageant. And I told her no, and she said, well, you really should consider. So that summer, I entered the Miss Mommy County pageant, and I won that pageant, and that totally transformed me and opened me up to possibilities and gave me a new and better self-perception.
Awesome.
After the win, I met more mentors and had tons of encouragement. I was encouraged to enter the Indy 500 pageant and became an Indy 500 princess. I left college, I'm telling you, a different person. Some years after college, I auditioned to be a Colts cheerleader, and I made the team. After that, I moved to New York and worked in fashion and did some modeling. And was getting opportunity after opportunity, I felt very successful and content there. But after several years, I was forced to come home due to a housing situation, which I later learned was God's plan. And just real briefly, I'll just sum this up. When I returned home back to Indiana, I was very depressed. I started to think about my high school experiences and developed post-traumatic distress disorder. Mm. At work, I would often share my bully experiences with coworkers, and someone would always say, well, my niece or my daughter's bullied. Could you please talk to them? Could you give me some advice? Also during that time period, I attended a New Year's Eve night service. And as I was going down the prayer line, three different people prophesied that I would speak to youth and be an influence to youth. I really didn't think much of it. But then months later, a coworker encouraged me to join an anti-bully organization. So I contacted Bully Proof Indiana to volunteer and became state director within a week. Two years later, as a representative of Bully Proof, I collaborated with a handful of organizations in Indianapolis to help create and implement House Bill 1423, which is a new anti-bully bill, and the bill was passed the Senate as law of spring 2013.
Wow, what a story of overcoming your bullying situation. And you know, Nika, what I like that you point out is initially in high school, how instrumental of a role that cheer coach played in your sense of self. Because I don't think as adults sometimes we recognize how much we impress upon kids with our words and the way that we react around them. And it sounds like when you got to college, thankfully you were surrounded with more positive individuals who understood the magnitude of impressing upon a child's life. So I am really happy to hear that story. And I think for all those kids out there who are currently suffering, if you are going through a situation similar to what Anika experienced, there is hope, and there are adults out here who are willing to pull you along and help you out throughout the course of your life. So all it takes is for you to reach out, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later in our show. Now, Roberta, you've been a part of Choices for Champions, which is an event that happens annually with the WNBA Indiana Fever, and in that includes a section on bullying. Are there any stories that stood out to you shared by either players as they were growing up or by students that are attending that made you want to focus and build bully awareness?
Yes, I'll go over both one of our players and one of the students that didn't just attend but actually helped us in the presentation. First, Tamika Catchings, our star player. Three-time Olympic gold medalist, WNBA champion, WNBA MVP, finals MVP. Her list goes on, but her young life started out being bullied a lot because she was born with a hearing impairment, and that caused a speech impediment. So she has a wonderful speech, and I won't go into too much detail because we definitely want people to attend Choices for Champions and hear her speeches that she does throughout the year. But she talks about how that did affect her, but then she found that if she's on the basketball court, no one can bully her. She stood out as one of the best, and she can show them on the court. So she just knew to take it to the court and focus on that, focus on her dreams, and that really helped her get through. And she also talks about how instrumental people in her life were. Her parents were amazing, and Coach Summit, Pat Summit from Tennessee, was very, very instrumental in her life. So she really goes through a great life story about bullying, experiencing bullying in her life. And then we've had Olivia Rusk speak at our event as well as MC our event the past couple years, an amazing high school student here in Fishers. And she has alopecia. And so she has no hair and could very well be bullied a lot in school, but she just has a confidence about her that no one can bully her. She's never been bullied because even if kids try, she doesn't let it get to her. So when, you know, really speaking towards the building resiliency in children, she is that example. And she just has a confidence no one can bully her, and she has done amazing things, been on national TV shows now, and really going forth with Olivia's cause. So
amazing.
She has a great message as well that she's shared with Choices for Champions.
And I encourage all of our listeners today to really check into Choices for Champions, because they have a great program set up where the players get involved, the students get involved, and we're going to talk about that a little later on. But what I really like to hear about both of those stories, Roberta and Anika, is the courage that you pulled on within your sport, something that you were very confident about. And being able, how we can help children be able to pull from that courage that we use in our sport that focuses on our ability and transition that over to our everyday life situations. And I'm thinking in terms of my son and how out on the basketball court, he is the most confident little guy I think I've ever known. And he plays just like he was Derrick Rose of the NBA. But when he gets into the classroom setting, he doesn't always know how to pull on that courage and confidence. And I think with the Choices for Champions coming up here soon in May, it would be really important to learn how we can do that. And so Roberta referenced Healing Your Hidden Hurts program, which is called Building Resiliency in Children. We get the fortunate opportunity of presenting that at the Choices for Champion this year. And so it's really about bringing out what is going to help your child be more resilient and pulling on that courage and confidence. My last question before we take our next break is, what are your thoughts, Anika and Roberta, on how schools, churches, or et cetera, are helping those affected with bullying? Anika?
I honestly, in my experience, think schools really dropped the ball. I work with parents and students, and the most prevalent complaint is that the schools are very indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of staff just don't want to deal with bullying and just want to kind of come and do their job. But what they fail to realize is student relations is a part of their job. One of the biggest challenges for us is to get students to take accountability and get staff involved with bullying incidences. Now we're kind of seeing an influx of grassroots anti-bully organizations raising awareness and students and parents standing together to support to get schools to respond to this program. And this is where it really all began, just the media aspect of it. But even with that, schools are resistant to resolve or even acknowledge the problem. So
it
really boils down to the school system.
And I think also who plays a huge role is our churches, because I think a lot of times, again, as adults, we don't think about how impactful school environments or cultures can be on our kids, and we just expect them to be able to rise to the occasion, and that's not always the case. And so building into the churches where they can reinforce that in our kids is significantly important. What do you think about that, Roberta?
I think churches is a great place to be able to address this in a very religious way, and I think it's something where possibly sometimes in the nurseries or just the programs that go on in churches, they don't see themselves as an official school, so
Absolutely.
They might not see their role in playing mm-hmm. the with the anti-bullying movement, but everywhere children are, we need to be aware of anti-bullying techniques to help out situations. So
that's a great point. That's a great point. Okay, let's take another break. And when we return, we will learn about the recent laws passed to protect yourself and your child from bullying. Stay tuned.
Listening to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley, and if you're just joining us today, we are discussing how to team up and defeat bullying with our special panel guest. If you'd like to phone in today, please call 888-463-6748. Now, Anika, you talked earlier about some laws that you were really instrumental in helping to get passed with Bully Police Indiana, and they were recently passed and signed by Mike Pence. Could you share with us your role in helping to get this bill passed, and what exactly does the bill state, and how does it change things for our students?
Okay, sure. January of last year, a handful of youth organizations in Indianapolis under the Marion County Commission on Youth convened an anti-bully legislative work group. We defined and expanded the definition of bullying. We also established bullying prevention and intervention programs required for the Department of Education to enforce onto schools. Under this law, the Department of Education works in conjunction with schools to provide guidelines that school systems must abide by. They also assist in developing strategies that address school safety. They provide material and guidelines to assist the state school committee in developing a plan and policy that addresses school safety and professional development needs. Schools must also establish categories of types of bullying incidents that they use when making reports. They will review each school corporation to assess if they are abiding by the policies under the law. This model basically makes schools accountable, which is a huge deal. A lot of times schools don't want to be accountable for any bully incidents that were reported. So schools are being closely monitored for compliance and adhering to the guidelines by the Department of Education. And I think students feel more comfortable knowing that their issues will be addressed. The law is very detailed, and anyone is welcome to review online on the Department of Education. I don't know if you can provide a link to that, but it's
okay.
www.doe.in.gov/services/bullying prevention intervention Indiana. And it will give, actually give parents a step-by-step instruction on protocol when reporting, a bully incident to school. It also details state reporting guidelines and everything else pertaining to the new bully law. And the law also outlines preventative measures.
And when it, when you talk about monitoring the schools and the programs that they have in place, what do you think, I guess we could do better in order for our schools to, I guess, be in compliance with this new law? Because like we were mentioning earlier, it's really difficult, to, I guess, find your way into a school with these type of messages and the programs and things like that. How exactly, if you know this, Anika, how exactly do they set up the parameters for monitoring schools and the programs and things of that sort?
Well, it's all done under the Department of Education. So, like I said, there are programs that are in place that are supposed to be in place under the new law for schools to abide by. If they don't, then they're accountable to the Department of Education.
Right.
And the Department of Education will go in and investigate each school to monitor to see if they're doing everything by the guidelines. So that's where the accountability comes into place. They have to answer to the Department of Education.
That makes sense.
If they don't, some schools will be fined.
And so what my experience has been, and I'll get on my soapbox here a little bit, is that a lot of times in certain schools, and I won't say just Indiana schools, once we have a bully victim speak up and reach out for help, they're met with some level of resistance. And then when people such as myself want to go into the schools and talk about bullying or setting up support groups, met with this notion of, well, we don't want to bring to light that there's a problem with bullying in this school. And so, it, you know, almost immediately you're kind of shut out from the school system because they're afraid that parents or whomever will start to say, well, there's known problems of bullying at this school, and so we won't take our child there. But my thing is, if you're visible, and a lot of schools here in Indiana are visible with their bully, anti-bullying efforts, if you're visibly saying, and here's what we have set up specifically for bullying, and here's how effective that program is, people are more apt to bring their kids to that school where they know that, as I said initially, their student can focus on learning and building themselves up. So I am very excited about the new law that was passed. I even learned of a new app that kids can download on their phone and alert adults to them being bullied or what have you, or even bystanders alerting school officials. I'm sorry, Anika?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think it's, I think we're definitely headed in the right direction. And I just think that we just need a little bit more reinforcers to go in there. And hopefully what we will talk about at the end of our show today, as far as the resources in the community that are available, maybe schools will open themselves up to allowing that to take part in their schools. A couple other questions that I have for you. Anika, what do you think bullies look for in their targets? And I'm talking specifically for our teenage listeners that might be tuning in today.
I think they look for someone who is shy, introverted, someone who they think has a very low self-esteem, no confidence. As I said earlier, there are some students, no matter what school they go to, they're bullied, and I work with students like that. So I think that they sense something in the victim that makes them a target. I don't know the exact psychology of it, but there's something that makes people more a victim than others, and I think a lot of it has to do with a low self-esteem and a poor self-image.
Absolutely. And I look at it, someone once shared with me that it's almost like a lion who is stalking out his prey. They look for certain characteristics in their prey to let them know, okay, I'm only going to focus on that one deer. And they look at, you know, whether that deer has a limp, or they look at whether that deer has some type of deficiency, so that, and if you guys notice, they only go after one deer in the pack, and it's the one that they've pinpointed as having these deficits. And so I look at bullying situations very similar to that, where the bully understands that there's certain vulnerabilities that lie within the child or even the adult. And they're okay with, I guess, prancing or pouncing on that. And sometimes bullies aren't fully aware of the mean behaviors, unless, of course, you know, it's something as overt as your situation, Anika. But they're not aware of how much they are impacting that student with their mean behaviors. Now, something that I also quite often talk about, Anika, is this sense of radical self-acceptance, where kids who maybe, say, are overweight or anything like that, and there's kids that are out there being very mean about their weight issues, and I have the kid kind of look at themselves as to why this might be truly affecting them. Do they really feel like they're overweight? Do they? And this doesn't imply that somehow bullying is their fault. No, because no bully should take it upon themselves to act inappropriately. But what I am saying is, can we radically accept ourselves as we are? And if there is some type of deficiency, are we willing to look at that and change it accordingly? What are your thoughts on that, Anika, and then Roberta?
Well, I was going to say, and another thing that most people don't think about is a lot of it's based on jealousy. You'll mm-hmm. see if there's a pretty girl or a rich kid, they're often the targets because they want to, they call leveling, they want to level that person down to how they perceive where they are. So I see a lot of kids there was a kid that I was working with that had a new tennis shoe, and he was bullied because of that. So a lot of it, I find, has to do with jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
But a bully can find any reason within the kid to pick on that kid. So it really doesn't matter what the target is. If something bothers that person, they'll find any reason to pick on the victim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what are your thoughts on that, Roberta?
Yes, I agree with the jealousy remark, as well as lack of knowledge and maturity with students. One example with a lot of basketball players is a lot of the students that are really tall at a young age. We have Jessica Davenport, who really speaks well on that, grew up very tall, and tall kids can get picked on as well as short kids. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. one, jealousy, two, lack of knowledge of how kids just develop in different sequences and not knowing that, and possibly even parents bringing that type of mean behavior down to their kids as well. That can also help them where the student doesn't understand that they're being mean because that's mm-hmm. just what they've been accustomed to. So a lot of a lack of knowledge there, and just lack of understanding.
And Roberta, I'm glad that you brought up the players. Why do you think it is important to have like role models such as professional basketball players or other professionals in their given sport get involved in this anti-bullying movement?
It's very important to get involved in the anti-bullying movement. It's a huge topic. It's a very serious one with serious outcomes, even the deadly outcomes, and we see it as our social responsibility to get involved in programs such as these. And our team we are on that national platform, that world platform, where we can be role models to kids. I've been a part of several events in my years here with the Fever, where players, coaches, Inferno Dance members, anyone associated with the Fever get to go speak to students, and they listen. That association with the Indiana Fever, with the WNBA, they may hear their teachers and their parents speak so much that they start to zone them out. When they see a professional athlete in front of them, they are listening. They are intent on the message, and the messages we can bring can portray to the anti-bullying movement in a lot of ways, with especially the teamwork. And right. I like the kids that hear our players speak, then go to a game and watch our players successful on the court. And right. they get to see the teamwork, where it's all about working together, having confidence in yourself and having confidence in everyone else on your team, having the respect for the team you're playing, and having that contribution to your team, knowing your role. Are you a leader? Or are you a role player? Are you coming off the bench to hit that clinch three at the end of the game to win the game? Knowing mm-hmm. what your role is, what you can contribute. And then something our head coach, Lynn Dunn, talks about a lot in her speeches. She's a dynamic speaker, coping and mm-hmm. knowing that you're going to fail. So you are going to lose some games, and you are going to lose in some relationships. You are going to possibly get a D on a test. Whatever it may be, you are going to fail in some ways, and it's all about how you come back and how you cope. And Coach Dunn calls it bounce back ability, in connection with basketball. So with all of those lessons that we can show regarding a team atmosphere, we see that platform that we're on and take it very seriously as role models for our youth and our community.
Absolutely. And before we take our next break, John Maxwell, who's a very successful business person, said, failure is not the problem. It's the response that you have to failure. So you can choose to go down one path, which can lead you to a negative alternative, or you can choose to use that as a lesson and pull it to start again and start over. So with that, let's take our next break. And when we return, we'll talk about the resources available within the community to help you or your child recover or overcome bullying. Stay tuned.
Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley continues on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley, and today we have talked about teaming up to defeat bullying within our community. And for this last segment, I would like to go into more detail about what's out there that is available for our teens or our youth in the community that they can pull on to utilize and help them during the process of overcoming bullying. Roberta, let's start with you. What role are you currently taking in helping to prevent bullying with our children? And tell us a little bit more about the Indiana Fever Choices for Champions.
Yes, we have several player appearances that we talk about this Choices for Champions anti-bullying message, but the most important one that I want to talk about right now is the Choices for Champions program that we have annually in May, and we encourage schools, homeschool, summer programs, if they're already into some of the summer programs, to attend this event and learn about the anti-bullying techniques. And we bring in speakers, different speakers, throughout the program to talk about anti-bullying techniques, and we go about it in a way to make sure that we're not just reaching the youth with how they should deal with it, but the administration as well, parents as well. We know there will be parent chaperones, so we want to touch on it in all aspects so that schools are able to go back and implement a program within their school to handle these situations. And in the last couple of years, we've really been able to make it a lot more interactive, so we're really excited. We'll We'll have activities that bring out bullying messages. We have great speakers. We'll have a skit with the players and some kids. And then we end this event with a couple of our players doing a Q&A speaking in regards to anti-bullying messages, but also other things that we stand for, health and fitness, education, and we can really tie that in all together where we talk about if you are healthy, if you're eating healthy, if you're exercising healthy, then you feel better about yourself. You have more confidence in yourself, and that can really help you build that resilience and not allow yourself to get bullied, as well as not be jealous of others and be the bully. And then step up as a bystander and have confidence in that. And education, knowledge is power. And we really talk about that, and no one can take your education away from you. And if you are knowledgeable, you are more confident in yourself. You are more understanding of others. And so we really tie it all together with our professional athletes that are great role models for our kids that they really listen to. And then the kids get to watch the players in action and really see them take that to the court. So it's a wonderful program, and this year we're excited to partner with Healing Your Hidden Hurts and the Building Resiliency in Children Anti-Bullying Program and take that one step further and doing a year-round program, supporting the year-round programming put in place by Healing Your Hidden Hurts, and bring Fever players or coaches or representatives such as myself that have a connection to the WNBA to speak at these programs and really set that message.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I imagine that this program in the past has been very successful, and it will continue to be successful because not only, like you said, are you focusing on anti-bullying, but you're focusing on all aspects of life for children who might otherwise not understand that all these things are important to them and why they are important, and to have such respected professional athletes come forward and talk about the importance of it only serves the purpose of reinforcing that in our kids and our youth. So I applaud the Indiana Fever for taking this on and recognizing the need for this within the community, but also teaming up with our organization, Healing Your Hidden Hurts, which, like you said, is a year-round program now. We are so very excited to be on board with you guys. And again, appreciate you welcoming us on board. But we also have a 12-week group program that is implemented within that year-long program with the Indiana Fever, where you will have the opportunity to hear the messages from the players. You will have the opportunity to learn about skills from the players, but then you will have the opportunity within the group to come and try those things out for you and how you can make them fit. So the 12-week group process not only involves adolescents, it involves families, and then we will have a separate one for adults who are dealing with bullying in the workplace as well. So I encourage, like you said, Roberta, everyone to come out and check out Choices for Champions. It's a really great, empowering event for kids, and I think that our kids definitely need to be empowered who are in these situations.
Yes.
Now, as far as...
Can I mention
how to
sign up? If you want information about the program, go to feverbasketball.com, and there should be information about our May 5th Choices for Champions event. And just again, we were the 2012 WNBA champions, and we...
Yay.
Are encouraging kids to make champion choices in their lives. So it's great to get champions in front of these kids to show that. So, or
and
they can call me at 317-917-2757.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for that, Roberta. Can you repeat for us the website?
Feverbasketball.com. You can also Google Indiana Fever, WNBA.
Okay. That sounds great. Thanks so much for sharing that. And your number again was?
317-917-2757.
Awesome. Awesome. And Anika, what role are you currently taking in helping to prevent bullying with children? And are there resources out there that maybe Roberta and I have not been able to mention that you know of?
I think the law was a huge win for this initiative. We are now working to make parents and students aware aware of the law and of their rights, and also to make schools aware of the law and for them to abide by them. I am also working with parents and students on a one-on-one basis to kind of help walk them through the process in reporting peer review. I work with a couple of very dedicated anti-bullying advocates through Bully Speaks Indiana, and they're available to help at any time. I've also joined your team, Healing Hidden Hurt, and will help any way possible.
Absolutely.
And I'm very excited for the collaboration. I think you're doing a wonderful service for our community.
Absolutely. And Anika will be brought in on some of our year-round program events where we go into the schools and we talk about the importance of the anti-bullying movement and what's involved with that and what resources are available. So thank you both for coming on our show today. I really do appreciate you being here, and I hope that you would consider joining us again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again to our listeners for joining us today. The information that we shared was very important, and we appreciate our featured guests. Now, did your child just tell you he or she was sexually abused? Do you know what to do next? If not, please join us next time, March 4th, 2014, where we will discuss this in detail. Thanks for tuning in to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley, where we believe what makes you vulnerable can also make you beautiful. Thanks again. Take care.